Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Take Flight Podcast with John Melton. It's a beautiful, cold Saturday evening, January 9th, 2021. This is episode 5. I have a special story for you. Did I almost get kidnapped in China? And things to never do while teaching abroad. I want to keep you updated on the podcast. I've had some people reaching out, two teachers in Korea. Shout out to them. And we're looking to work something out and get them on the podcast. And we can have some entertaining conversations where you don't just have to listen to me groan on and on and on about my stories and, you know, how to maximize your money and, you know, get the best contracts, you know, and give the best interviews and be a pure professional in the industry of teaching English abroad. Look to kind of be a little motivator for you and give you some information. I love joining anybody on their journey. Reach out to me, holler at me, and tell me about your journey. I love reading about them. I may even share them on the podcast. We now have a Buy Me a Coffee. I'll put the link down in the description if you want to show support. I would really appreciate it. Everything goes back into making this podcast as good as it can be. We have a job list that's over 200 legitimate job lists right now, and we're building on it. And we're looking for a way to release that. And I want to give out some free content, but I really need to know the response. I need some people reaching out to me and just know what kind of demand there is for such a thing. I always see people looking and looking and looking for jobs, and I see them all looking in the wrong places, but I can't sit there and respond to every single person or answer every single post that I see on a TEFL group and Facebook. And that's kind of the point of this podcast, is to broadcast everything to a broad audience. All right, today I'm going to start back in my journey of when I decided to go to China and what led me to a very precarious predicament. The story starts back in the early months of 2014. It was bitter cold and I had recently gotten laid off from one of my jobs. So I went to a steel factory in the town of Jackson, Tennessee. We worked inside of this train hub where there was machinery and cutting steel and welding. And I think inside the train hub, it was colder than outside because I could not feel my fingers. Shortly after this, I was laid off. And the girl that I was dating, we had tried to work it out, but apparently she was more concerned with my job status. And after this, she decided to part ways with me. During that time, my father started going through some health issues and had to be admitted to the hospital, so it was just another kick to the chest. After we officially broke up, I applied for a college in town, a local community college, and I was told that I was going to get financial aid to help me fund this. Well, they sent back some verification forms that I had no idea what I was looking at, and I'm pretty sure I filled them out wrong. Sent them back, and they told me I would get $0. So this spoiled my plans to go to college and further myself. And honestly, I was so tired of being rejected and so tired of the norm and the same old, I said, I just got to do something different. This is when I saw Anthony on Facebook. I went past his pictures and I see him traveling, walking the Great Wall, mountains in Yangshuo, China, teaching children. I thought, man, that's awesome. I don't even know what it all entails, but I want a part of that. He had been on my friends list on Facebook for a few years because he's an avid wrestling fan, and I was a pro wrestler by Cody Melton on TV, and for several years traveled around doing shows. So I reached out and he answered back and we began the process. He informed me of what type of TEFL I needed to get. He informed me of what documents I needed to get in order, what the look really needed to be, and gave me a good basis. The TEFL course also gave me a good basis. From there, I sent out some applications. I got a call from one, did an interview through Skype. It was very broken and very kind of, it was hard. It was just the Skype and the connections just weren't as good back then as they are now. After that, I got in contact with another school. And they told us that we could go, and it was near Xi'an. If you know where Xi'an is, it's where the famous Terracotta Warriors are. And we got to research in this place, and we saw that they had some sort of hornets or wasps down there that we didn't want to deal with because they buried into your skin. It seemed to be a big problem. So we were like, yeah, I don't know. Well, at the last minute, she offered us a town near Oceanside. She called it an ocean city, which is a stretch to call it that by any means. Yingkou, China, and Liaoning province, right between Shenyang and Dalian. We decided to go. Well, my parents at this time had been dealing with a shady landlord right before I left. So they needed to leave the house. They needed to leave the house they were in and get into a new one. So they bought the house. And this is 2 days before my flight that I had just paid $900 for. We didn't have much help. So a friend of mine, a cousin, and I pretty much moved the whole house in 2 days into his new house. Exhausting as it was, I knew that I had to do it because once I left, my parents were too old and disabled to do it on their own. And they were low on money, so paying people for it was another option that couldn't happen. So I did that. And I wanted to stay in the house for at least one night before I left. So I went to, you know, the house. And during this time, I decided to write a letter to everybody. I got real emotional. Because I'm going to tell you, leaving places you don't like is just never easy. And then once you travel to the new place and meet new people, leaving from that place isn't easy. It's the worst part of traveling. It's heartbreaking, but you learn to keep rolling. There's a positive and a negative to everything. It's, you know, two sides of the coin. Anyways, I wrote a letter to my parents. I wrote a letter to my daughter. And I wrote a letter to my ex-girlfriend because we had recently began talking again. And she really just filled my head with crap and said she would give me a ride to the airport and whatnot. And I was like, awesome. Okay, that'll work. We take a ride to Memphis, right at the Memphis International Airport. And she says, you know, I have no problem dropping you off and I'll be the first one to pick you up. Just don't bring home a Chinese wife and it's all good. And kind of laughed it off. And I got my stuff. I gave her the letter. And walked away. And as I was walking off, I was just tearing up because, not because of her, but just leaving everything and everybody. Like, everything was changing at this moment. And needless to say, that was the last time that she and I saw each other face to face. We broke up while I was over there. And, you know, it was all for the better. But anywho, I meet Anthony and face-to-face for the first time at the Memphis International Airport. We fly and go to Chicago, and then from Chicago to Abu Dhabi, from Abu Dhabi to Beijing, Beijing train ride to Yingkou. All right. While I was at this school, and I'll just give you the initials because I don't want to give them any publicity, but it's EP. And I do not advise anybody to go teach at this place. Unless you want to deal with a very shady principal, owner, whatever you want to call her. Now, here's where the story starts getting a little weird. So we talked to the teacher that was there before us. And he told us that the teacher prior to him had sort of evidence that someone within the office had been tracking his calls and even following him around town. So this made me a little bit paranoid. Well, after that, the owner wanted my passport for her to make a copy. I said, okay. Well, after a day or two, I couldn't get my passport back. So I'm like messaging, can I have my passport back? Can I have my passport back? Finally, they give it to me reluctantly, which I thought was weird. Now, I try to understand. They don't want me just leaving on a whim or unsafely traveling province to province or something, but you have to have that passport port if you're going to travel around in China. So as I mentioned in a previous story, I negotiated a raise, and eventually she got rid of Anthony and gave me all of his classes. So this is already where I'm really down in the dumps and ticked off. And she keeps asking for my passport. One day, they call me into my office where Karen, who is my teaching assistant, was in between us acting as a translator. From there, the owner, Jesse, persistently asked me for my passport. I said no. And I stood my ground and kept saying no. And I only grew more and more frustrated. So, you know, I had something in my mind is that Jesse, the principal, the owner, her family worked for the police department. Okay, technically, I did not have a degree at that time and was on a tourist visa. So, put two and two together, you know what I'm talking about. I'm thinking, all right, if she gets mad at me, I mean, if I'm on her good side, everything's okay. You know what I mean? She's got the cops in her back pocket. I'm safe, even if they do a raid. But on the other hand, I thought, what if I tick her off? What if I get on her bad side? She could crush me. She could have me put in jail. She could ruin everything. She could ruin my future. So I knew my passport was my lifeline, and I refused to let it go. After they kept asking and asking and rephrasing it and everything, pardon my French, but I told Karen to tell her if she asked for my damn passport again, I was taking my ass back to Beijing. There were plenty of schools that would be happy to have me. I don't think that Karen translated it that way, but the response was, we can just talk about it again at a later date. Man, what did they not understand about no? Not at a later date, it was no. And at this point, after firing my friend, trying to hold my passport where I couldn't leave, and being so unrelenting, that's when I made my midnight run. Now, to give some backstory, there was a teacher named Regina there from a long time ago, but she was still friends with Luke, the New Zealand teacher who I met when I arrived. Well, she ended up leaving the company over a big disagreement, and Regina and the owner, Jesse, really despised each other. Well, over time, after my breakup, I ended up talking with Regina and we began dating. Regina began pointing out a lot of Jesse's shady practices and encouraged me even to leave. Now, sometimes I look back on this and think either she was blowing this up or she was underhandedly doing this to spite Jesse and just get rid of a teacher. And maybe she faked all of her feelings for me or whatever the case may be. But anyways, I used her to help me get my train ticket and coordinate a plane ticket because the cheapest one was $777. And literally every week after that, for almost a year, it went up and up and up into the thousands, several thousands. And I thought, man, this is now or never. Either I'm trapped here and have to finish this out, like working my butt off, or I have to go now. And I chose, just everything in my gut said, go now. And we had to go to her apartment. And as you know, the internet's different. So getting on the emails and printing things off and getting my forms and sending back my license and passport was all the hugest, like, hassle. So from there, that was a Sunday. I woke up early Monday morning and without anybody being able to see me because the school was right across the street, I shuffled off to the taxi, and this was my only off day. So from there, Regina and I rode all the way to the train station, and I waited and waited and waited, and finally, it was goodbye. I had to tell Regina goodbye, even though we were had just started dating. I had just built this awesome social life. I was in a job I loved up until that point, and I was literally riding the escalator up to the train platform to leave it all. And I must admit that I once again cried. So I waited on that metro, made it back to Beijing. I waited in the airport, a little confused, sad, a little angry, and actually hating that I was leaving China. I hated it. Right before I got on the plane, I talked to my agent, which I should have never went through, the yellow hat, if you remember previous episode. And she was asking for my teacher if she could talk to her as a, I think, a way to ask if I was actually at the school. I said, oh, well, I'm not at the school. I had to run. I had a problem at home. And she said, oh, okay. They're looking for you. Let me call her. I said, okay. And I got off the phone and immediately boarded the plane. I landed in Detroit and I started receiving threatening messages from the principal saying these cases could be carried to America and this and that, which all turned out to be baloney. I've never heard of it since. She knew that her deal was on some shady practices, and the fact I broke the contract was a non-issue. I made it home. I finally made it home. My parents, they showed up to Memphis and picked me back up. I drove all the way home. It was my first time driving a car in like half a year. And I got back to my town, and the first place I stopped was Taco Bell. Oh, yeah. Because I missed it. So, that leads me to this list, guys. Things to never do when teaching abroad. Of course, I could go on forever and ever, but I'm just going to give you some main points for today that sort of relate to the story. First, never, ever give your passport to anybody to hold. This is your lifeline. Without it, you could become a prisoner. You could be wherever you are. This is not just for China, because they have to have documentation. It's not some evil thing or evil plan, even in America. If you're found, you don't have the proper documentation, you're going to get obtained, or detained, not obtained, obtained then detained. Anyways, don't leave your home country without multiple copies of your passport. You need multiple copies. That way you always got a backup. And even carry a flash drive with your documents on it if you must. Have a passcode on it. Next, this goes without saying. Guys, it doesn't matter what you do. Whatever makes you happy. It doesn't bother me. I'm not judgmental. But when you're teaching abroad and you're in another country with different laws, check on them and don't do drugs. It can get you in a lot of trouble. Carrying drugs into China can get you prison sentences. And just a little heads up, if you're hired for, say, a job in Shanghai, and you show up, you're chilling for a week, and they say, okay, we just want to give our drug test, blah, 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 and you had smoked some weed back at home, and you have that in your system, guess what? They can put you in jail just for having it in your system. So please, before you go, clean out, clean up, and when you're there, don't do any drugs that are illegal. Next, don't let the school buy your phone for you or control the phone service. Like, when you get there, buy the plan at the airport. Buy the SIM card at the airport. It's relatively cheap. You get a lot of data, and it reduces the chance of anybody spying or keeping tabs on you. Next, always don't forget to clarify when you will get paid, on what date of the month, and it needs to be promptly. If not, that's a problem. It's a red flag if you start getting late payments, or they say, well, just I need to wait till the next one and I'll catch you up. You need to probably run out of there as fast as you can. Next, don't be too trusting of others, and that means like other teachers and staff. Sure, they're there to help, and you can work great as a team, and you'll even make some friends. But ultimately, you're the outsider. Be professional. They're going to relay things you say and do to others in the office because they kind of want to keep tabs on you. You're new. They're curious. They want to see if you're going to be a good fit, etc. Be aware of that. And lastly, don't forget to enjoy yourself. That's the most important thing. That's the goal of all of this, is we can take teaching English, our expertise, and we can go anywhere in the world, get paid buku, and enjoy traveling. Why wait until you're a senior citizen to go travel? Do it now. Live it up. Take your pictures. That's the point. Don't forget to enjoy yourself. Don't get so caught up on the numbers, and don't get so caught up on contracts and this and that, the things that I mentioned that are very important, without enjoying yourself, because you'll be miserable. And that really goes for any location that you're in. I want to thank you again for tuning in to the Take Fly Podcast with John Melton. We will soon have a site up. We are finishing up our job list. We have a book. We have a manual. We just want to figure out a way to get it to you. This will get the beginner or the novice started in a proper way and out of these bad situations that I myself and my coworkers have endured, and we're trying to keep you from. Follow us on Instagram at @takeflight_podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Take Flight Teaching Consultants. We now have a Buy Me a Coffee link if you want to show us some support. It's down in the link below. We would really appreciate it. Otherwise, just keep tuning in. Thank you for making it this far, and I'll see you next time.